Hello and welcome. Today, I want to share a story that changed how I help people with their phones. It starts with a student I'll call Alex. Early 20s, part-time job, full-time classes, a social life mostly on a screen. When Alex walked in, I did what I used to do. I thought, phone addiction. But the word made Alex tense. That tiny flinch of feeling judged, I saw it. So I stepped back and checked the research. Here's the twist. There's no official diagnosis for smartphone addiction. What we see is problematic use. Habits like losing track of time, checking without thinking, feeling off if you can't check, or using your phone to avoid tough feelings. Not a disease to cure, but patterns we can understand and retrain. The moment I stopped saying addiction and started saying problematic use, the room changed. People don't want a label. They want to be a person with a problem they can work on. When I frame the process as skill building rather than recovery, people stick with it more. Think of five people you know struggling with their phones. Two of them will likely do better just because we shifted the conversation from shame to skills. With Alex, I said, let's get curious, not judgmental. We didn't try to pry the phone away. We decided to learn how and why it was so sticky. And that meant better data than I'm on it too much. We combined three types of information. How Alex felt and remembered the day. Screen time numbers. A few quick mood and urge check-ins in real time. The picture was simple. Triggers were predictable. Boredom between classes. Anxiety after a tough email. That late-night social comparison. Alex wasn't failing a willpower test. The phone was giving micro-relief. Once we saw that, the plan wrote itself. Not to quit the phone, but to use it on purpose. First, we did a thoughtful assessment. Stress, sleep, mood, routines, and a couple quick surveys for shared language. Puzzle pieces, not verdicts. Then we pulled it together into a clear plan. Here's the mindset shift I invite you to try. The goal isn't restraint, it's regulation. Not I must stop using my phone, but I want my phone to support my life, not steal it. For Alex, that meant less social scrolling during study blocks and more in-person time with friends, without the twitchy FOMO. How do you do that? Here's the five-part structure we used, built around down-to-earth mindfulness. 1. Psychoeducation. Plain English. Your brain loves novelty and reward. Your phone is a vending machine for both. Notifications and infinite feeds are designed to grab you. That doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. When you know the game, you stop taking it personally and start playing smarter. 2. Awareness in the moment. Mindfulness is the half second before you cap. Notice the urge like a wave rising. Take 2 breaths. Name it. Boredom. Anxiety. Habit. Labels are powerful. When you can see the urge, you don't have to obey it. 3. Trigger mapping. Look at your day like a map with potholes. Waiting in line? High-risk moment. Post-email nerves? Another. For each, build tiny if-then plans. If I feel the itch in class, then I put the phone face down and write one sentence of notes before I check. If I get that anxious jolt, then I do 3 slow exhales and stand up before I decide. Little guardrails give your brain a path. 4. Environment design. Don't stare at cupcakes all day and hope to win. Make good choices easy. Turn off non-essential notifications. Move social apps off the home screen. Use grayscale during study time. Charge the phone outside the bedroom. This isn't discipline. It's smart defaults. 5. Values and experiments. What do you want more of? Focus, sleep, real conversation? Run tiny weekly experiments. A 2-hour study block with focus mode. No phone at the table with roommates. Measure how it felt and what changed. Tune the plan. No pass or fail, just data and adjustments. We avoided the A word. We talked about problematic use and intentional use. That kept the work compassionate and doable. And we didn't rely on guesswork. We set aside a few minutes each week to glance at screen time numbers and pair them with mood notes. That three-way view, memory, metrics, feelings, shows patterns a single source won't. If you're thinking, what can I do today? Try this gentle 48-hour experiment. 1. Notice your first unlock. Don't change it yet. Note the time and how you feel 10 minutes later. Clear, scattered, anxious, energized. 2. Notice your longest session. When does it happen? What started it? How do you feel right after? Stuck, soothed, numb, inspired? 3. Add a 2-breath pause before any unlock. If after 2 breaths you still want to check, go ahead. That pause is the gym where impulse control gets stronger. If you want a stretch goal, pick 1 environment tweak. Move a tempting app off the home screen. Switch on focus mode for 1 study block. Charge your phone outside the bedroom for 1 night. Then ask, did that make my life 10% easier? If yes, keep it. If not, try a different tweak. No drama, just experiments. Here's what happened with Alex. Within a few weeks, those automatic checks in class dropped because there was a plan. Study sessions felt quieter. Evenings became more social. Less scrolling, more laughing in the kitchen. We didn't ban anything. We built skills. Noticing, naming, delaying, deciding. Because the goal was regulation, not punishment, there was no rebel voice shouting back. The phone went from noisy roommate to decent coworker. What if there are other issues under the surface? Stress, anxiety, low mood? That's exactly why the initial assessment matters. These often travel with problematic use. Name them and you can treat them. Sometimes with mindfulness, sometimes with other tools. Phones aren't the villain. They're where our habits show up. Change the habit and you change more than screen time. Before we wrap, try a tiny language swap the next time you talk to yourself. Or someone you care about phones. Instead of, I'm addicted to my phone, try, I've got a pattern that isn't working for me yet. Hear the difference? One is a cage. The other is a door. If you want the nuts and bolts, the exact questions I ask, the simple questionnaires, the step-by-step of those 5 pillars, it's in the piece that inspired this episode. But honestly, you already have the heart of it. Curiosity over judgment, data over guesswork, regulation over restraint, compassion over labels. So here's your closing invitation. For the next 2 days, notice the first unlock and the longest session. Take 2 breaths before each check. Make 1 tiny environment change. Then see what shifts, not on your phone, but in how you feel. If it helps, keep going. If it doesn't, adjust. That's not failure. That's you running the experiment of your life. Thanks for listening and for choosing to build skills rather than carry labels. I'm rooting for you.